There was a barber who was talking to some guys who came into his shop every Saturday morning, and he was trying to get them to explain something to him. He said, for the past 6 months, this young boy comes by every Saturday morning. And he says, when he comes in, I'll say, okay, listen here, son. He said, I've got a quarter in this hand, I've got a dollar in this hand. And he says, I want you to pick which one you want. And he says, every Saturday, he picks that quarter. He said, I don't understand it. I don't know why he's doing that. I don't know why he does that. Maybe he doesn't have a good concept of money. And so they talked about it. And then sure enough, in just a few minutes, that little boy walked in. And the barber pulled out his money and said, do you want a dollar or do you want a quarter? And he said, I'll take the quarter. And he walked off. And they were just kind of laughing and they were thinking, what in the world? He didn't have any idea about money. And later that day, one of the men in there saw that young boy downtown and he said, son, he says, do you not know that a dollar is worth a lot more than a quarter? He said, oh yeah. He says, I do. He says, but the day that I take that dollar, this game stops. Game is over. You know. He said, we're done. Now this morning, we're going to talk about something that I think you understand and that you know. But I want to remind you this morning about how great heaven is. A couple of weeks ago, I was riding down to Montgomery with a good friend of mine, Gene Calhoun, who's on the Lads to Leaders Board of Directors. And he shared a story with me, and I want to share it with you this morning. It's a story that I thought was very applicable to our Christian life. And, you know, as he told me the story, it was kind of resonated with me. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, you know, that's what we need to be thinking about as Christians. There was a lady that was dying, and she was on hospice care. And she was meeting with the funeral director to plan her funeral, to discuss the details of her funeral. They went through the customary questions to help her have the type of funeral that she wanted. And as they were going through the details, the director asked her if there was anything that she'd want to have buried with her. You see, it's not unusual for people to want to carry something with them. Sometimes it's a favorite Bible. Sometimes it's a favorite family photograph. And he asked her, is there anything that you want to put in your casket with you? And the lady thought for a minute, and she looked at the funeral director, and she said, yes, I'd like to have a fork buried with me. Now, the funeral home director thought, what in the world? He thought, this is very unusual for a lady to want something like this. And so he asked her. He said, he couldn't take it anymore. He says, why in the world do you want to have a fork buried with you? The lady responded to him, and she said, when I was a child and I was growing up, every time we'd finish eating, my mom would clear the table. But when she was clearing the table, she would always say, save your fork. The best is yet to come. And we knew what she was he knew what she was talking about. That dessert was coming, and that was the best part of the meal to those children. And she told her, save that fork, because the best is yet to come. And I want to tell you this morning, as Christians, the best is yet to come for us. I don't want to upset you this morning, but everybody in here is going to die one day. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, but it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And as we realize this, it makes it important for us to be prepared. It makes us realize how important it is for us to be prepared. You know, one of the things that sometimes happens in our lives is we get so caught up in what's going on around us that we feel like we're trapped. Like there's no way out, like the whole world is going to sink in on us. But I want us to remember that heaven is waiting for us as Christians. In fact, in the passage that Brandon read for us, that's what Jesus said. He said he was going to prepare a place for those who follow him. I like the King James Version of that, because King James Version says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Many mansions. And we think about that. Where we live is important. Other versions will say a room or a dwelling place and several things like that. And what we understand is that Jesus has a place prepared for us. It's important for us to feel good about where we live. When Kim and I moved back to Henderson in 1992, she made a mistake. I'm going to tell you what she did. She let me find a place to live. And so when I came to look for a place to live, the thing I was looking for was not cost very much. low rent. That's what I was looking for. That was not what Kim wanted. We stayed in that house for about 8 weeks. We bought our first house thanks to James and Carol Webb. So Carol at the beauty shop over here, I hate to call it that, a man going to the beauty shop just doesn't sound right, but that's where I saw her. I saw her, and she told us about a house next door to her, and we ended up buying that house. And anytime I'd travel, my wife would sleep with a hammer in the bed with her. And I thought, we're in Henderson, Tennessee. Nobody's going to bother you. And luckily for those 8 weeks, they didn't. But, you know, it's important for us to understand and to know that we have a home that's waiting for us. Jesus said, I will come again, and I will take you to myself. Now, when we think about this, let's look at Philippians chapter 1, and let's think about what Paul thought about heaven. This is a man who was dedicated to doing God's will. If you've got your Bibles, open up Philippians chapter 1, and we're not going to read the whole passage there, but I want you to look specifically at verse 21. He says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Verse 22, if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and to be with Christ, for this is far better. You see, Paul found himself in a tough spot. You know, he knew that if his life ended right there, that he would be going to heaven and spend eternity with God. But he wanted to go and spend his eternity with God, but the church needed him. As he was writing this, he's writing it from a prison. And he said, you know, as a Christian, I'm going to do what's right. He knew heaven was there. He knew the church needed him. And so he was kind of torn in between what he needed to do. Now, I know that most of us would think, what's best for us? What's best for us? But that's not what Paul did. He said, I have a tough time. And he says, for me to live is Christ, for me to die is gain. He knew that if he were to live, that to be fruitful labor would be the result. You know, in other words, he was not retiring. If he lived, he was going to be working. He was going to be doing what God wanted him to do. This past year has been a very tough year on the church. It's been a tough year on groups everywhere around the world, because we've not been able to meet like we're accustomed to. We've not been able to do the things that we need to do. But it's time for us to wake up and to get back to work, and let's bring the lost to Jesus. And that's what Paul was all about. You see, he was not going to sit there and feel sorry for himself while he was in prison. He was going to be doing what God wanted him to do. There was no doubt about it. That's what he wanted to do. He knew that heaven was better. He had no doubt about that, but he knew the people of Philippi needed him, and so he was going to do what God wanted him to do. Over in the book of Romans, chapter 8, Paul writes there, and, you know, he talks a little bit about the things that he was suffering. You see, as a Christian, he suffered a lot. He was in prison, he was beaten, he was stoned. We know over and over the things that he went through and how difficult that was on him. But yet he maintained his faithfulness to God. And I want you to look at verse 18 of Romans chapter 8. He says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. In other words, he says, what I'm going through now, the struggles, the troubles that we have, the tough times that we have, you know, he says, what we've got waiting on us is so much better, and we need to keep our eyes on that and keep our focus there and understand that. In verses 12 through 17 of Romans chapter 8, he talks about how that we are joint heirs with Jesus, and that means that we have an inheritance. And that inheritance is that glory that he's talking about there. You know, the suffering that we have here on this earth is not to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. Something that we forget a lot of times is that suffering is temporary. It's temporary. It goes away. It goes away. Yeah, I think about Katie, my daughter. She's walking around in a boot. Has been for about 6 weeks, and will for 4 more weeks. And as she walks around in that boot, you know, we make fun of her, of course. But, you know, it's not very comfortable for her. But she's able to do it because she knows that eventually she'll be able to get out of that boot. And she knows that it's worth going through that trouble because there's something in the end that will be better. You know, she'll be a lot better off and a lot better shape. And I think sometimes we forget as we're going through things that this world is temporary. It's not going to last forever. In fact, this morning I asked you, what are you struggling with? Is it cancer? Is it arthritis? Are you having troubles with your finances? Are you having problems with your relationships? Maybe your children have broken your heart. Maybe there's some other disappointments or heartaches. Maybe there's problems at work. Maybe there's other kind of problems that you're dealing with. And as we're going through these things, that's all that we focus on. We forget about everything else that's going on around us, and we laser in on the struggle, on the troubles and the struggles that we have. And I want to remind you this morning, our struggles are temporary. And when we leave this earth, when this life is over, we've got a place waiting for us that is so much better than anything that we can think about. In Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 3, Paul says, "More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." You see, Paul understood it. He knew that when we suffer, when we struggle, that we learn, that we grow, that we become who God wants us to become. He says, suffering produces endurance. You know how to get through something. You know how to stick with it and not quit. And I've seen a lot of people over the years just quit. Give up when something didn't go their way. And as Christians, we can't do that. We've got to endure. We've got to keep going. He says endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope doesn't put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into us. He understood that when we struggle, when we have these difficulties, that it's not the end of the world, that it's not the end of life. But what happens is, it helps us to become who God wants us to become. And we've got to understand that. We've got to understand that that's what God's plan is for us. Now, as we think about this morning, the last verses I want us to look at are in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Because Peter gives us a picture of what heaven is like. And it's just amazing when we look at this picture, because it's far beyond anything that we're used to seeing. In verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." He says, hey, we've got some hope out here. He says, here's the good news. Here's what I want you to understand as I get started. He says, I want you to understand we have a great God who is the Father of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and he's caused us to be born again. He's made it possible for us to be faithful Christians by raising Jesus from the dead. Now that right there is enough for us to hold on to look at, and to be excited about. But he goes on and he says, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. When we look at that verse there, several things jump out. Imperishable. You know, when you're looking in your refrigerator, you're like us, and you start cleaning it out, you look at a perishable date on an item in there. And sometimes you look at it and you think, man, why is this still in here? And you want to throw it away because you think it's no good. Yeah, we recently went on we just got back from vacation on Thursday and had a great time with Excel and Angie and had a great trip. But when we got back, I looked in there at the refrigerator, the milk, and it said June the 6th. And I thought, I can't drink this. So I took it and poured it out because, you know, it was perishable. And everything around us is perishable, isn't it? When I turned 16, I got a car, and I was so excited about that car. 1977 Dodge Charger. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot to these young folks, but boy, I thought I was uptown driving that car. Thought I would be driving that car when I turned 50, when I turned 60. But you know, that car lasted about a year and a half. It's in a junkyard somewhere. You know, I wrecked it, and I wasn't paying attention, ran in the back of somebody, and I thought my dad was going to kill me, and he didn't. But, you know, I was talking and not paying attention and did that. And that vehicle was ruined. And, you know, there are other things that we get that we think are going to last forever. And they fade away. You know, they don't have the same value to us as they did when we first got them. But what heaven is a place that's not going to perish. It's not going to perish. It's not going away. It's undefiled. There's nothing bad there. It's unfading, and it's kept in heaven for you. That's for you, and that's for me. Heaven is set up. It's built by God, made by God, and He's got a home for us. Now I want to remind you this morning, no matter what the world throws at you, no matter what struggles you have, no matter what problems you have, whatever you're dealing with, take it to God, because He's got a home waiting for us in heaven. Over in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 24 and 25, Paul says, For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. And that's what we're doing. We're waiting for heaven. We're waiting to be able to go home and spend our eternity with God. Swindoll said that we can live several weeks without food. Now, if you've got a growing son, he probably doesn't understand that. But we can. We can. We can live several weeks without food. We can live several days without water. It's hot weather. We don't want to try it, but it's true. He says we can only live minutes without oxygen. He said, but without hope, forget about it. Forget about it. And we have hope. We have hope because of what God has done for us. And as a Christian, and as Christians, we understand that heaven is what we're looking for. And this morning, I want to remind you, keep your eyes on the goal. Keep your eyes on heaven. Realize that it's there for us. Maintain your faithfulness to God and continue to serve Him. But if you're not a Christian, that home is not yours. And you need to put Christ on in baptism and be baptized for the remission of your sins. John Gibson was a preacher in Arkansas. And he, when I was a youth minister, I read a lot of his bulletin articles. He always was such a great writer. And he had one entitled Her Best Day Ever that he wrote in June 27, 2002. And he talked about the wife of a preacher. They'd been married for 46 years. And, you know, she'd passed away. After she had died, he went to see the preacher and expressed his sympathy. And he said to soothe his own sadness. And, you know, when he saw the lady's husband, he said, yesterday was her best day ever. Because she had been suffering. And she had been struggling. And she'd gone on to her reward. This morning, I want to encourage you, if you're not a Christian, you need to be. You need to be baptized so you can have that home with God in heaven. If you are a Christian and you've not been faithful, come home and get your life right with God. If we can help you this morning, would you come as we stand?